You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
To the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. I'm your host, Robin Johnson, and on today's show, we're going to look ahead to next week's veto session in Springfield, where the Illinois legislature will meet. Technically, this session is designed to consider any gubernatorial vetoes of legislation passed last spring, but newer topics can and do sometimes come up, and there are some important items being discussed in advance of next week. Here to look ahead with me is Brendan Moore. Brendan just last week started a new position as State House reporter for Capital News Illinois. He's been on my show before. Brendan, congratulations and welcome back.
Thank you, Robin. Always happy to be on with you.
Well, these veto sessions sometimes are pretty boring and not much going on, and sometimes they contain some excitement. What are you seeing? Which one do you think it'll be this year?
I think we'll have some excitement this year. As you kind of alluded to, it's called the veto session because in the spring the legislature passes a bunch of laws. They get sent to the governor, who reviews them over the summer, and oftentimes you get some vetoes or maybe an amendatory veto and make change has to go back to the legislature, those bills that the governor rejected. But with Democratic governor, Democratic legislature, there are often not a lot of vetoes to consider, at least over the past 6 years or so. I think the governor vetoed maybe one or two bills this year. So there's not a lot in that category, but there are some unresolved issues from the spring that will likely be on the docket, namely reform of Chicago area transit agencies and finding new funding mechanisms so they can avert a fiscal cliff, as well as energy legislation to address reliability of the grid as well as the cost. So those are the two big things, and I guess we can get into it, but those are probably the two big items that are on the legislative docket next week.
Let's start with those two. And there's a couple other things to bring up that are very, very current and in the news. But the transit deal is mainly focused on Chicago, the way I understand it. But for our listeners here in our area, kind of explain what's going on and what's involved. Will it mean more money? And is there anything in there pertaining to downstate Illinois, I guess, that would have reason for people to be interested down here?
Yeah, so the headline is Chicago. I mean, that's where a lot of the focus is. I mean, that's where a lot of the governance reform is for Chicago area agencies under the RTA's umbrella. So that's, your Metra and your CTA and your PACE. So that doesn't necessarily affect downstate, but the funding will. So just to kind of give a little backstory. So during COVID-19, there were billions of dollars in federal aid that came flowing into these transit agencies. And so that helped sustain them over the past few years, sustain their operations. That money's going away at the end of the year. So there is been this so-called fiscal cliff that Chicago area agencies are facing. It was initially pegged around $750 million. They've gotten it down this year through various forms to about $200 million. So they've narrowed the gap this year, but it's going to get bigger in the years to come. It's going to balloon to nearly $800 million by 2027. So they need money, but legislators have been insistent on we're not going to give you more money, because they're likely going to have to raise taxes to fund this, but they're not going to do it unless there's significant reform to some of these agencies in Chicago. So that's been a big part of this conversation. Although honestly, a lot of those issues have been worked out, and now the issue remains is funding. So there was a bill that was proposed in May that came up for a vote in the Senate. It included a lot of different funding mechanisms. I think the most notorious one was $1.50 tax on deliveries. So that's like your Uber Eats or your Amazon, and that would have applied statewide. That was not very popular. It got a lot of pushback, and the bill was not called for a vote in the House. So I'm not so sure what the status of the funding is, but they are going to have to find some type of funding mechanism. For downstate, though, I will say there are provisions in there that would impact downstate agencies, which also need money. Maybe not as dire in some sense as Chicago, because they're not as big. But in other ways, it is a little bit more of a need, because a lot of these transit agencies, if you take transit in, some of these downstate areas, oftentimes you're disabled or you're elderly, or you have no other mode of transportation. Whereas, Chicago has a lot more choice riders on the CTA and on Metra, et cetera. So they don't get as much from the fare box in downstate. So in a way, they need some more money to fund their operations. One of the mechanisms that's been discussed would be to lower the cost share for downstate communities. So right now, on a lot of transit funding, there is a 35% local match required. Some of these bills that have been proposed would lower that to 25%. So it would basically, have the state giving more money to these agencies. They wouldn't have to put up as much money. There are provisions in there that would help fund transit for downstate, and I think it's just finding the right I guess menu of revenue options that can get enough support to pass. Because remember, we're on the veto session, and anything that passes with an immediate effective date needs two-thirds supermajority to pass. In theory, they could put it off, and say it's effective next year. But it's still kind of still to be worked out. It's very possible it gets punted to January. But I think there's still a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, and that I know a lot of communities like Peoria, and here in the Quad Cities, there's bus service, transportation service, but in rural areas as well, like where I live, there are services as well to provide people access to transportation for doctor's appointments, things like that. So it's not just a city Chicago or even Chicago area issue. It does affect everybody statewide, and I'm glad you pointed that out. So yeah, we'll see. That's one issue to watch here in veto session. And obviously, with the higher vote requirement, they'll either going to have to get Democrats who control things, or even have to get Republicans, or get all. So a lot of downstate members on board as well. So that makes the content of this very important, and important for downstate folks to pay attention to, as you had said.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it transit's a statewide issue, and Governor Pritzker, when he's talked about this, has always said that any deal would have to include provisions for downstate, and the bills that have been filed that were debated in May did have those. The details might change a little bit, but if they expect to get downstate votes on this, and there could be some, from some Democratic members downstate, they have to get more money for some of these agencies downstate. Again, a lot of the conversation is focused on Chicago, but there are a lot of agencies that, and And again, that's because of the some of the governing issues up there. But downstate, the funding issue is a statewide issue. So that'll be something that has to be resolved. And again, it doesn't have to necessarily be done in the veto session. It could be punted to spring. But they are running out of time. So they're going to have to do something at some point here pretty soon.
Very interested in the energy legislation being talked about, with everything being on going on federally with energy and the changes in emphasis under the Trump administration, from alternate energy, which the Biden administration favored, to I guess I would put it, Trump favors more traditional forms of energy, oil, coal, nuclear, things like that. What legislation is under consideration in Illinois, and how does it fit into the changing dynamics going on nationally?
Yeah, you bring up a very interesting point about what's happening nationally. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act was not great for renewables, wind and solar. And obviously we know here in Illinois, the state has very much moved in a direction of trying to phase out fossil fuels and move towards 100% clean energy. The goal is by 2050. And frankly, the state is not on track to meet that. It was always going to be an ambitious goal, and they are not close. So that was kind of the onus to look back at the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act they passed in 2021 and see what can we do to, I guess, amend it and improve it and try to spur more renewable energy development in the state. And then as you have that going on, you also have the rise in energy costs, and that's become a huge factor here too. So you have the issue of coal plants and natural gas plants coming offline. They're required to go offline by 2045 at the latest, most of them by 2035. And so they're coming off the grid. A lot of them provide baseload power, and not enough renewables are coming on the grid yet to replace those. So there are provisions that would be in this energy package that would incentivize battery storage. So basically, you can store the energy that's produced when during peak, when it's sunny out, when the wind is blowing, and then that energy can be used, during those non-peak hours, in the middle of the night and when it's not a windy day. So that will be it probably be in the final package. There are some other things going on too. It seems like there's pretty much broad agreement now on lifting the state's moratorium on a nuclear power plant development. There was legislation a few years ago that allowed for smaller nuclear plants, but this would allow for kind of the bigger ones that we have come to know in Byron and Dresden and the big ones up in northern Illinois. So that could help solve some of the baseload energy issues, baseload power issues facing the state. Another issue that they're really looking at too is the increased energy usage in the by these big data centers that are locating in Illinois. They are really kind of rising. It's rising to the top as an issue because they're just consuming so much electricity and water. A lot of it's driven by artificial intelligence, and that was not an issue a few years ago. Like that's a new issue, and so there is a lot of conversation going on about how do we account for this. Because a lot of those energy costs are being passed on to consumers, because there's greater demand for energy, there's more stress on the grid. They're Some of the environmental groups want the these companies that own data centers to supply their own power. Business groups and organized labor are understandably against that because they say that will discourage these businesses from coming to Illinois, and it'll hurt, it'll hurt the economy. So that's a big outstanding issue, and I'm not sure how much progress they've made on it. I do think that there will be some type of energy package. Again, it might not get resolved in veto session. Has to be They have to address it at some point, but but it's one of those issues that got punted from May to now, and it could be punted again. The idea back in May was that they kind of just ran out of time. They needed, they weren't done negotiating, and also, like, there was a theory too that perhaps lawmakers needed to go back to their districts and hear from their constituents about the spike in energy costs this summer across the state. I mean, everybody's power bill went through the roof, and perhaps they would come back with a greater onus to get something done to solve that issue. So really, the big thing, I guess, just to kind of recap it, lifting the moratorium on nuclear, the battery storage issue, and then what to do about data centers. Again, there's other stuff too. I mean, they would call it an omnibus energy bill. Like, there will be other things, but those are kind of the big topics that have kind of dominated during this debate.
Listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and my guest today is Brendan Moore, who is the brand new State House reporter for Capital News Illinois. Brendan, as many of you know, has been a guest before here on my show as a State House reporter for Lee Enterprises. And the work that Capital News Illinois does is important. It's funded by grants, by donors. It replaces really, it's a leading source of replacement for news for a lot of communities, like near where I live, that where the small community newspapers have shut down. So what I like about them and is that it's objective, independent journalism, old-fashioned journalism, that explores both sides of issues, and we need more of that in this day and age. So I'm an unabashed advocate, and I don't mind giving a little shout out here. Brendan has been talking a little bit about the upcoming veto session, and two of the major topics are potential for a major transit bill, which would affect all parts of the state, as well as some energy legislation. I find the whole AI topic fascinating on how this is playing out, and it seems like it's playing out really fast. And we'll see if the promise in development and jobs is equal to what some of the costs may be in energy and even water in some of these communities. I wanted to turn to something. I mean, we talked a little bit about how veto sessions can be dynamic, new issues coming up, but I saw where Illinois House Speaker Chris Welch was up going around the state. I believe he was in Rockford recently, listening sessions, and affordability issues kept coming up. And he kind of hinted that they may be discussed anyway next week. One of your colleagues, I saw, had reported on this. You discussed the financial aspects of increasing energy costs. Is there anything else you're hearing that might be put potentially into a package addressing affordability, or is that something that's probably going to have to wait till the session next spring?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything concrete out there right now. The House Speaker in that story that my colleague Ben Zielinski wrote mentioned that when they get back to Springfield next week, they're going to talk. They're gonna try to figure out, as a caucus, what they may want to do to address some of these affordability issues. I mean, it's not just energy cost. I mean, it's everything. Everything is going up, and obviously not just in Illinois, but across the country. We talk about tariffs and all that, but I do think that it's more likely that that will be a topic for the spring, where they have a full session that they can kind of flesh out some of these issues. Obviously, next year will be an election year, so in any poll you look at tells you that cost of living, affordability, that's the top issue for everybody. And it doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, everybody's concerned about their the bill, their power bills, the bill at the grocery store, the increasing rent. People are getting squeezed everywhere, and I think that legislators will be akin to some of those. We'll try to address some of those concerns, although they are a bit limited in what they can do. I mean, the state budget is tight. It's getting to be even tighter with some of the cuts in funding from the federal government. Obviously, less people are likely to be covered under Medicaid, which is gonna hurt people who maybe have lower incomes. And the state government can do a little bit to alleviate some of these concerns, but on the whole, they're very limited in what they can do. I mean, a few years ago, 2022, during the when inflation was sky high, again, another election year, state had a pretty robust surplus, and so they were able to give out about $2 billion in tax cuts. Some rebate checks and in other ways, pause the grocery tax for a year. I don't know if any of that is going to be possible given some of the constraints, the budget constraints facing the state, and some of these other issues that they're going to have to address again, because you have to pay for transit somehow. And I think most legislators have said that, the deep cuts that would be required as is would not be acceptable. So like you may be looking at a tax increase there, and then like to fund some of these like battery storage program for an energy bill, that's probably going to go on people's bills, to help pay for that. And so there are just these little things that like are probably going to cost people a little bit more, and that's going to be weighing on legislators as well. And it makes it hard, and it makes it hard to address some of these issues again, given some of those constraints.
Got time for one more question. I got about two or three more minutes here, but probably the biggest issue in the state, more I guess focused in Chicago, is the arrival of National Guard troops, federal troops, ICE, and there's been a really battle of words between Governor Pritzker, Mayor Brandon Johnson in Chicago, and the Trump President Trump and his attorney general and other staff on the other side. Is this an issue that might have lend itself to some type of legislative initiative next week, or is this something that just won't play out next week? Or I imagine it's going to have a shadow, definitely. But I mean, is there any chance of any type of action? I'm not sure what the state could do really at this point.
Yeah, I mean, nothing has emerged yet that's obvious that they could do. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of speeches on the floor next week. A lot of I don't want to call it grandstanding, but on both sides, I think there's going to be a lot of discussion about what's happening and what it means. I mean, there are some bills out there that would address certain things, like State Representative Barbara Hernandez, a Democrat from Aurora, has a bill that would ban law enforcement officers from wearing masks while out doing their duties, and that would apply presumably to ICE officers who have a lot of them have been covering up their faces to conceal their identities. But then you get into questions about can the state tell federal officers what they can and can't do? I mean, you have a basic I would say it's a supremacy clause issue of the federal government. You can't just tell the federal government what to do when they're operating in your state. So they're going to talk about it, I'm sure, and maybe not next week, but maybe they'll come back the second week of veto session, which is the last week of October, and maybe have a more concrete plan. But again, I think they're very limited in what they can do beyond some performative gestures and symbolic gestures that signal their disapproval, at least the Democratic majority disapproval with what's going on up in Chicago.
So look for some speeches from both sides, but yeah, it's obvious constitutional issues of trying to state limiting federal action, but I don't think that'll stop them from talking about it and maybe proposing some things that may fall short of constitutional muster.
No, I mean ideas will be proposed, bills will be filed. Whether they get votes, that's a whole nother question. And whether if they do pass and get signed, if they're constitutional is another thing we'll have to look out for. But it'll be interesting though.
Yeah, it will be. It always is. Never a dull moment in Illinois politics or Iowa politics, for that matter. Brendan Moore has been my guest today on Heartland Politics here on WVIK. He's a new State House reporter for Capital News Illinois, just moved over and just this month. And so be watching for his work. I know a lot of people are familiar with it. Brendan's been on my show before, and I really appreciate you taking the time, a very busy time right now, to come on. Brendan, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Robin.
You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.